Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Episode 3, We Like What We Like. My name is Javier Augusto. As always, the beautiful voice of Adelaide Laurie.
Hello, everyone.
ASMR is coming, I swear.
We need 50 of you. Then I'll do it, I swear.
All right, fine.
We're both swearers.
We're both swearers. Oh my God, we're swearing so much.
Uh-oh. Explicit. I'm just saying.
Well, it is explicit. Now... you know what? We goof around a lot, but this is a special episode of Rampage, so it is a bonus for us. We don't really do Rampage a lot, and we don't expect to do it, but...
What it means is we watch it, we didn't plan on podcasting it.
Correct.
But this is a special two-hour yes. Rampage, so if it's a bonus for us, it's a bonus for you.
It sounded sarcastic.
No, it's true. I'm 100% being real.
Oh, okay. Well, I like it. I like it. You didn't see the sincerity on her face. It was very sincere.
Yeah. If I was younger, I would say I was being my authentic self. I know.
Ew. All right. Let's move on. let's say I like a couple of things this week. You liked at least one thing, I know, that you told me about. So let's...
Go over what we like, what we like? Yeah. For the week or the month or the day?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. First things first, what I like. I like AEW has announced as of yesterday, they announced that there will be a new title coming, a new women's title. And from what I understand, again, this is just still in the rumor stage, but it is official. It is the TBS title. So that will be a women's mid-card title, like the TNT title for men, but not for women.
Nice. I'm excited.
Yeah. And I think that there's a very strong rumor that there will be a trios title finally coming. That's for your three-man tags teams, and that'll be great. I'm super excited for that. Yeah. So that's one of the things that I like for the week.
What was the other thing?
The other thing is that I have a very demanding listener. We have a very demanding listener that has been very vocal about how we were tardy in releasing the second episode. And so therefore, the exact words were, hey, great to see you guys. Where's the second episode? Where's the second episode? 12 exclamation points. Where's the second episode? All caps. Okay.
I would apologize, but I'm going to blame Javier.
It was my fault. It was my fault. I've had a week of getting up at 4 in the morning to go to work by 6, and it has been rough on me and my timetable.
But we are going to endeavor to be more on time. That's for you, our favorite listener so far. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Shout out. What did you like this week?
Mine is a mixed bag.
Okay.
I both liked it and hated it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wanted to shout out to our friends, Brady and Sarah, who are moving to start a new adventure, and I'm super happy for them. So I'm happy for them, and I like that they're following their dreams. I was also happy we got to spend an evening with them, which is also part of the reason the podcasts are a little behind, but I don't mind. And I'm also sad that they are now thousands of miles away.
I don't even think it's thousands.
It's hundreds of thousands of miles away in my head. It's too far.
It's entirely too far.
They cannot join us for sushi on the whim, and I don't like it.
That is unfortunate.
But I wish them luck. So good luck, Brady and Sarah.
Brady and Sarah, take care, guys. Wish you all the best. Yeah. Don't be strangers, though, all right? Keep listening. All right, let's talk about the card real quick. Let's get it out of the way.
Sure.
So we have the card for this week's Rampage Special Grand Slam Edition.
So the first match is Hobbs with Hook at his side. Mm-hmm. I just like the visual. Sorry.
Of Hobbs and Hook.
And he is in a match with CM Punk, which...
First match back after 7 years off TV. So that is phenomenal. This is going to be great.
I'm excited both for the first match back as well as trying to see... watching him try to do the go to sleep.
Perfect.
Yes. let's stop here.
Starting it off with a bang. No. We're going to keep going. This is going to keep the momentum rolling through.
I'm excited to see if he can do it on Hobbs. I'm going to say yes.
I am going to go ahead and suck my teeth and go, not so much. He has struggled with big guys in the go to sleep before. I think he brings back, I said it before, I think he's going to bring back the Anaconda Vice for this. I don't see him doing the go to sleep successfully.
Go CM Punk.
All right. The next one is Adam Cole, baby. And the Young Bucks. See, this whole my whole trios theory stands true with Christian Cage and the Jurassic Express.
And then we have the Men of the Year with Dan Lambert on the side, which, side note, I really hope he gets knocked off some kind of edge corner. I don't know. Somewhere. Versus Jake Hager and Jericho.
Okay, Dan Lambert has done his job. Adelaide Laurie does not like him.
I just don't want him yelling at me anymore. I haven't done anything to him.
Fair. All right, we got a huge 8-man tag after that. Santana and Ortiz and the Lucha Brothers versus Private Party and the Butcher and the Blade. They're going to have the Bunny and Matt, Big Money Matt, on their side, as well as Alex Abrahantes is going to be on the side of the Lucha Brothers and Santana and Ortiz.
And we have Anna Jay versus Penelope Ford.
Penelope Ford, looking really good lately.
Yep. And then finally, the Lights Out match, which is...
Well, this is the one that's the big one. That's the Suzuki Goon one with Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki facing off against Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley. Now, it's Lights Out, which AEW does very well. The idea of that is it's going to get a little bloody, yeah. I think. That's my prediction.
Let's see how this goes.
All right, we're going to see you guys after the first match. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, 7 years. 7 years and he's back. So, first match, CM Punk versus Will Hobbs. Powerhouse Hobbs, Team Taz, with Hook. Quick thoughts, Adelaide, go.
I thought it was great. I loved every moment of it. It was really well done. I think there were a few maybe miscues.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
some. But I expect that to happen.
Jerk fans are going to call that a botch, but I don't see it as botching.
Oh, I didn't think it was a botch. I think there's a difference, but yeah, it was good.
There was a piece that, you know what, they didn't replay it, and it's good that they didn't replay it, because when I replayed it on my own immediately after the match, I realized, okay, it wasn't as bad as I thought, but live, in real time, it looked like Will Hobbs had missed his timing on a Hurricane Rana that he took from CM Punk, and it looked like he landed straight up and down on his head, and... That's a big dude to land on your head.
Yeah.
So that's good that it didn't happen that way. He did go arm first on that, but it looked great. Looked vicious as hell.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Everybody was like, oh my God. It was great. It was absolutely great.
The crowd was in it. The moves were good. It was very entertaining.
And you got to understand, this has been recorded. This was recorded after.
Well, I heard that there were a couple of things recorded before and a couple of matches recorded after, so they split it up.
So this might have been recorded before AEW Dynamite, which is fine. It's great.
Absolutely.
Which is great, because wow, oh wow, the crowd was great. They were super hot. Yeah. It worked. It worked. Will Hobbs looking like a real up-and-comer.
Yeah, he looks great.
He's not even, I don't even think he's 26, 27.
Is he really that young?
He's really, yeah, he's in his 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, he's young, and he looked great.
Yeah.
He looked absolutely fantastic, so...
And then what happened, babe? I mean, he tried it twice and failed. And then what? And then what?
All right. So anybody who thought that CM Punk couldn't get a 270, 280-pound man up to do a go-to-sleep, he didn't get him up once. He didn't get him up twice. He got him up three times and almost hit it once, got blocked. He hit it, and, yep, he won the match with the go-to-sleep. Yeah, CM Punk's back, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. And that I'm not gonna lie, Adelaide. When I saw it, I was not speaking because I was super happy. I absolutely loved that happened. I was never a real big CM Punk fan in the WWE.
I didn't watch when he was on, so I didn't know.
So, but his wrestling was never something that I went, oh, his wrestling's not that. You know, his wrestling's always been good. I absolutely love this. I thought it was a great match. As far as opening match, I mean, you know, chef's kiss.
They both sold being knocked around the ring. They both sold incredibly well.
You know, and they're selling CM Punk as this big striker. You know, yeah. I'm okay. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I want to see CM Punk versus Malakai Black.
Really?
Oh, man, that's a dream match for me. That's an absolute dream match for me. I absolutely want to see that.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, just a side note for this one. We watched the podcast with, what's it called, babe?
Oh, AEW Unrestricted with Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards.
Yes.
We watched the YouTube version of that.
Yes, and Aubrey Edwards was talking about when CM Punk was there in the back and how she started watching wrestling because of him and the pipe bomb.
And the pipe bomb, because her now husband was a wrestling fan and was watching wrestling and would tell her to watch it. And so she's watching it and she saw the pipe bomb and she fell in love.
Yeah, and so she...
she's the reason she's a referee.
She said she was in the back that day going, oh my God, he's here. Oh my God, he's here. Oh my God, he's here. So to be able to ref his
yeah,
his
so match Aubrey Edwards was the referee in this match, and that's just
awesome.
I mean, you know what? It's moments like this that AEW gives you, where you, as a person that's involved in wrestling or enjoys wrestling, and we're wrestling podcasters now, I guess.
Sure.
But you get to see someone like Aubrey Edwards, who's very genuinely seems like a very sweet person, and I've been following Tony Schiavone and them for a while, but you've got Aubrey Edwards talking about how big a fan she is of CM Punk and then being able to ref his match. That's got to feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not in the moment. Maybe in the moment you're just being a professional referee. But afterwards...
I don't know. In your head, are you not going, how did I get here? How did I get
here? I don't know. With that many fans right there, I think we're probably thinking about getting your spots right. But I think that, yeah, you're right.
If we get 50 listeners who are following us, I will, in my head, be saying, how did we get here?
You know what? That's a very good point. Yeah. So thank you. And thank you in advance for making it possible for Adelaide to say to herself, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Because when that happens, I'll be able to watch her face when she's saying, how did I get here in her own head? It'll be like mind reading. Thanks, guys. You've given me superpowers.
All right.
All right. We'll see you in the next segment. Holy moly. I went back to that one.
Holy moly, again.
Yeah, well, you know, that might be a gimmick that I can do. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. Quick two-parter, because there was a big, there's a little video vignette. Thunder Rosa.
A reminder.
Oh, reminder.
How this quote-unquote feud started.
It's an AEW dark feud, so one of the 3,000 shows that AEW does on
YouTube.
Which
is fine. I'm not complaining.
100% okay. Never going to complain about that. We love all the extra content. Because I watch wrestling at all times. It doesn't matter to me. So, it is a... some
Thunder
type of...
Rosa.
Thunder Rosa, Nyla Rose, and Jade Cargill are all sort of in this triangle feud right now.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I do like how Jade has sort of been coming across. She looks like she's actually getting better in the ring, so it's not just she's not just doing the monster thing.
We'll
Unfortunately, Nyla tends to be kind of a sink in a match. She tends to sink the line in a match.
We'll see how this goes. My honest opinion, the only thing I got out of this replay reminder was that Thunder Rosa needs to teach the other two how to do a promo.
I mean, it sounds mean, but yeah, Thunder Rosa's promos are so far above the other people that she honestly.
Someone needs to take Jade Cargill, who, by the way, has the most amazing body ever.
Yeah.
And could probably be a very good wrestler.
Yes. Fact.
I just don't think she believes in what she's currently doing, her character or something. I don't know. Or somebody needs to give that girl an acting class. I don't know what the answer is, but.
Okay,
very little interest in watching anything she does.
Yeah, okay, real quick. Her promos are really just not there. And it's mostly because she's trying to get to a catchphrase that A, didn't work, so they've dumped it.
Which is terrible because it was actually a good catchphrase. She just couldn't deliver it.
Yeah.
Because I am that bitch. How hard is that?
Yeah, exactly. How hard is it to say, you know, and me, real quick disclaimer, don't disrespect women by ever using that word, but I will catch someone up in a group of women, and in a group of certain women, you will hear the phrase, who is that bitch? And then someone else...
You don't need to define this. Nobody. That's the great thing about this catchphrase. It does not need definition. It is what it is. Women say, because I am that bitch. It's not that difficult.
It really is not that difficult a phrase. And if you're saying that phrase in the right way, and Adelaide will explain to you how that should be said.
I just said it twice in the right way.
If you're saying it like that.
I am that bitch.
Well, Adelaide could be. I wouldn't know. I've never used that word ever in my life. But if... Lies. But if you were going to use the catchphrase properly, then it's a damn good catchphrase for a wrestler, especially a female wrestler.
Yeah,
it'll get you over.
We digress.
We did digress.
Apologies.
Apologies for that. We just gimmicks kind of get in the way sometimes when we're talking. I'm
very passionate about it. I want her to excel. I want her to be really good.
When you look at her, she's $1 million, but for some reason the gimmick is just not clicking.
So change it. Make it so that she's comfortable with it. Do something so that how she looks matches what she's doing.
Yeah. All right. So regardless of that, that was a vignette, which, you know, got more talking points than we would have ever given it about it. But then we had the super click of Adam Cole and the Young Bucks wrestling against Christian Cage and the Jurassic Express. I'm going to say it again. Chef's kiss. Will recommend.
A slight disclaimer. I am the biggest Jurassic Express fan.
Oh, my gosh.
I am such a homer for Jungle Boy. It is not funny.
It isn't.
He has just grown leaps and bounds, and I get the pun of that. Every time I watch him, I go, ooh, oh, God, ooh. And it's just amazing. The whole thing was amazing. I didn't even write any notes, so I cannot give you any names of any moves. I am so sorry. I don't even know what it's called. I was going to say a V-trigger, but there wasn't a V-trigger.
There was not a V-trigger. No.
There was some kind of double kick thing that they called a BT-doobadoo.
BTE trigger.
There you go. See?
Okay. Towards the end of the match. I will say this, LA, you're right in that, you know, there are wrestlers that I automatically get into, and they have me narratively before the match even starts, from their opening on. This is going to sound like a dumb point, but I'm actually a fan of the Hybrid 2, which is a group, a part of the Matt Hardy family office thing that he's got going on. And they've been with AEW since the beginning, and unfortunately, they don't get as much TV time, but they are just really, really talented wrestlers to watch. I like them back in Lucha Underground, and I like them still. And I'm a fan. They have me narratively the moment they walk in. They're just cocky and silly. And right now, Adam Cole has me like that. The moment an Adam Cole, baby, happens, I'm watching that match. So this was good for me as it was for you.
Oh, it was the first time I've seen the whole entrance all together in one thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it was exciting. I feel bad that I don't like him automatically because he is with the Young Bucks.
Right. You don't like the Young Bucks. Yeah.
I don't.
No, it's just fine.
I mean, I do, but I
They're supposed to not be liked.
Right. Yeah, they did a really good job. But as Javier can attest to, I was not the biggest Young Buck fan when they were the good guys either. I was really tired of them holding on to the belt.
They weren't good guys when they got the belt.
They were good guys. They had the belts for a very long time when they were good guys. What do they call them?
Not faces.
Heels? Faces. Thank
right.
you.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
All right. They were tweeners maybe at best when they first got the belts, but whatever. All right. So the match was really solid. You had the classic spots. You had your Jungle Boy spots where he gets the comebacker. But in this one... he gets pushed chest first into the ropes, and instead of coming back with that big clothesline up front, Matt Jackson gets him with a super kick. Then he does actually get the comebacker as well, but it was really fun to watch all of the different segments. All right.
Luchasaurus's segment in the middle where he just handled all three of them.
He got the hot tag and went through.
He had, you know, one of the Young Bucks on one side and Adam Cole on the other side, and he slammed Adam Cole into Matt or Nick or which one, whatever what it was. I don't know.
He it was interesting because it was a double clothesline spot. Right? I'm sorry, a double chokeslam spot. And he chokeslammed Adam Cole into
Matt Jackson,
and it was a very interesting spot. I'd never seen it before.
And then that was followed up by him taking
Nick Jackson
off the top rope with a choke and slamming him.
It was more of a choke bomb, which is really, really cool. You don't see it very often.
I love him too. Like, not smooth. Only do I love Jungle Boy, but I really, really like Luchasaurus because he's so tall, but he does all the flips and it trips me out. I don't know.
It was a smooth segment. Like when he got the hot tag, you've got guys doing super kicks at him and you've got clotheslines coming at him and he's moving around them. He's avoiding them. And it's not just creative camera work. He's moving well inside those segments. Honestly, that's just how Luchasaurus used to wrestle in the indies. And it's just great to watch him on AEW. I honestly, this was a very, very good match. Will recommend. Love this match.
It's fun. If you're trying to get someone into wrestling and they will only sit down and they give you like 10 minutes, this is one of those matches.
Very good 10 minutes.
Look, here's a snippet of a campy yet enjoyable yet well wrestled match.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense. It's like there's no rules. Because Rick Knox is the referee. And just whenever there's a tag match, for some reason, when Rick Knox is the referee, there are no rules.
Right.
People are just going in and out. And this is just another one of those matches. And it was great. It was fantastic.
Even though Doc Gallows was ringside, he really didn't have too much to do with it. And, you know, Don Callis, a.k.a. my French teacher, was there on the mic. So
Still selling that 1970s disco suit.
I'm telling you, that's my French teacher.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Okay. I mean,
he is from Canada. He speaks French.
He's a better... Not everybody from Canada speaks French.
I'm almost positive Don Callis speaks French.
So he's a better looking, taller version. My French teacher was...
Okay.
Much shorter. But
Adelaide, I think we're going to have to talk about your attraction to your French teacher.
Gross. Moving on.
See you in the next one. Wow. Okay. We're going to have some talking points on this match, which is Chris Jericho, Jake Hager versus the Men of the Year, comprised of Scorpio Sky and All Ego, Ethan Page, mm-hmm. with Dan Lambert.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I liked this match. I liked the elements in the match. I'm going to go back to a very cliche thing to say. I was sports entertained by this match. I thought it was good wrestling. I liked Jake Hager in it.
I liked Jake Hager, and I'm not a Jake Hager fan. I didn't not like him. I just didn't.
A lot of his matches have been very, stiff. They just don't see. They seem like they hit hard. They just don't have a lot of character work and stuff like that.
No, I think the match was amazing. I thought Jake Hager did a great job. Yeah. I actually enjoyed watching him.
Yep.
I was actually rooting for him, which was a change for me. Yeah. I thought Chris Jericho, thought he was 20 years younger. There's something in the water up there or something. I don't know.
What did I say? I said that Chris Jericho was dad bod cruiserweight. It was ridiculous.
Jumping off ropes.
It did a lion salt that landed well. Went off the top rope twice.
Yeah.
It's just some really good stuff. Now, would you say that while watching this match, if you had to say that the wrestling elements in the match with All Ego Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky and Chris Jericho and Jake Hager, all of those different interactions, because it's a tag team match,
mm-hmm.
so you're going to have different interactions between different wrestlers. Do you feel that everyone interacted well together?
Yes, I really do.
Okay.
The only thing that I wish would have happened did not happen.
Which was?
What's his face on the outside?
Dan Lambert. You wanted Dan Lambert to get beat up.
Not beat up, just knocked down. Would have been nice.
Once or more than once?
Once would have been fine. I really thought that Jake Hager was about to hit him off the ropes and fall down, and I would have been happy. But no, he jumped down first, so...
They did, the commentators did put over All Ego Ethan Page having two different black belts. They were really high on him.
The whole match, when all the wrestlers were in the ring was very good.
Oh, that was telling the way you said that. All right. Well, let me sum up the match. Jake Hager, I mean, he got the hot tag, the second hot tag really of the match, and he wrecked shop. He took out Ethan Page. He took out Scorpio Sky. He did some big suplexes. Did a rock bottom, which I'm going to go ahead and say this. Yes, it was more of a... wish I remembered the Japanese word for it. I don't. I'll remember it for next time. But he does the rock bottom. And when he hits it, I'm sorry, it looked great. Looked better than the last time the Rock hit it. I'll tell you that right now.
It did. It looked good.
And so he looked amazing, and nobody come at me. I'm not saying he does it better than The Rock. It just looked better than the last time The Rock hit it. That's all. That's all.
I'm coming at you.
But Jericho was, like I already said, he was just, he was 20 years younger. He was all over the place. He was off the top rope. He did all of the classic spots that I enjoy very much. Him and Jake Hager did exactly what they needed to do to make themselves win. They didn't.
Because?
There was interference. Dan Lambert reached, grabbed Jake Hager's leg while he was coming off the ropes. I was guessing he was going to do the big boot. And he stumbled. And as he stumbled, Scorpio Sky grabbed him and sort of did sort of a quick, small package schoolboy and got the three count. You know, did the, as Simon Miller says, the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. And he won with it.
Do you mean a roll-up?
Yes, it was a, well, yes, it was, it's not just a roll-up, it's a schoolboy on top of it. So it's a different type of roll-up.
I was so proud for 1 second.
It is a roll-up. You got it right. It is a roll-up. You actually haven't said any moves wrong.
So I haven't said any moves.
Well, so. I mean, you did say V-trigger, but that's okay. It was V-trigger. I was wrong.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't wrong. Okay. I was wrong. You were close.
Okay.
But yes, let's talk about the part you did not like in the match.
So this podcast is called We Like What We Like, which correct. Means there will be things that we don't like. And by we, I mean me.
I think we got the we in that was going to be you in this match. Yes.
I did not. I love MMA. Don't get me wrong. So I think there's a time and place for anything. And having them there is fine. I did not think it was necessary to have the melee in the middle of the ring. I don't get it. I didn't appreciate it. I was not entertained. Please give me my 2 minutes back.
There, you see, the American Top Team surrounded the ring. Andre Arlovsky, some people I don't know. But Andre Arlovsky, Junior Dos Santos, and Jorge Masvidal, which are the ones that, of course, Paige Van Zandt, but, you know, Paige Van Zandt has been pretty irrelevant in MMA lately. She's doing bare knuckle boxing, which I guess is cool, but there's no wrestling in that. So, Jorge Masvidal looked good. He actually did a pretty smooth running knee. It's actually probably one of the coolest running knees I've seen in a while. So, if he got into pro wrestling, good for him. Andre Arlovsky was a big man, meaty guy. He was throwing punches with Jake Hager, and he looked good. He looked good. None of it looked bad. It didn't look fake. It didn't look like he couldn't hit a punch. Dos Santos, the camera wasn't really on him. I couldn't tell you.
That's not my complaint.
Adelaide's complaint, and let me see if I'm getting this right.
Okay.
You don't want outside people doing run-ins. You don't want the celebrity run-in. You don't want the MMA run-in at the end of a match, at the post-match beatdown or anything like
First of all, they didn't run in. That would be a misnomer. They casually strolled in while Jake Hager and Chris Jericho had Dan Lambert in the middle of the ring, and Chris Jericho was going to punch him in the face, which, FYI, I was looking forward to that too. And then they strolled into the, surrounded the ring. Now, if they had ended it there, I'm a happy girl. No problem.
Maybe setting up a match in the future.
For what? What is the end game? That is my problem. For what? Are any of those people becoming wrestlers?
Probably not.
Okay.
Maybe Arlovski and Junior Dos Santos have futures in that.
Then set it up differently. I didn't see them.
Arlovski's that big bearded guy.
I saw them, but I didn't see them.
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. I mean, they might have a future in pro wrestling because, you know, their MMA careers are pretty wound down now, so.
Sure.
Yeah, then all right.
What was the point? You cannot have a rematch. What is the point?
Maybe there's a rematch there. I mean, I think it's Dan Lambert. Setting up Dan Lambert as a real heel. Keeping him as a heel manager.
He already did that. Mission accomplished. So...
it's a ratings draw. I can't say anything about that. Okay, fair enough. I'm going to do what I do with Cody matches. Let it play out. See if it works.
No. It's been playing out. That did not work.
Okay.
For me.
Adelaide Laurie is going to stand on the side where the MMA beatdown at the end did not work.
It's pointless. It goes nowhere.
All right.
It leads to nothing.
I'm not going to disagree with you. That's something you didn't like.
I'm going to say one more word. It was superfluous. I'm done.
That's a very good word, actually.
Thank you.
I mean, could you have used a smaller word, though?
No. Like,
okay.
There you go.
I don't have anything to counter that with.
Like, you're not supposed to.
Okay, because you pretty much had the last word on that.
Yeah, I tried.
I'm just buying time
now. And
yet,
he still talks.
All right, next segment. This is going to be a longer bit explaining all of the things that just happened.
I agree.
All right, it was an 8-man tag. This was a pretty quick 8-man tag.
I still loved it.
Oh, I absolutely thought it was great. I just thought that it could have gone a little longer. Bryce Ramsburg, my favorite referee, was the referee for this match. I was very happy with that.
It was Santana Ortiz.
With
the...
Lucha Brothers.
Lucha Brothers.
Versus... The Butcher, The Blade, and Private Party. So the Matt Hardy Family Office. It was fun. Everybody got their spots in. It was a very pro-New York group. Since 3 out of the 4 tag teams are from the state of New York. Butcher and The Blade are from Buffalo. Private Party and Santana and Ortiz are both from New York City. And, you know, the Lucha Brothers are from Mexico. So, you know, it's almost the same thing.
Not even close to the same thing.
Okay. Tell them what you liked.
I liked everything. I liked everything. I liked Penta. Did I say Penta?
You did say Penta.
Oh, I'm just checking.
Because you are a Penta fan, is what we've discovered.
I am. Again, a very large man doing flippy things. Love it. I liked how Penta, Santana Ortiz, and Phoenix all worked together. I liked all the spots they did together. I think everything worked well. Well,
they were doing each other's moves in the beginning of the match, which were really great. They were all doing each other's spots.
If wrestling could be like this all the time, I would have a hard time going to work.
You'd have to catch up on all of the wrestling.
Yeah.
All right. I understand. So, you know what? I'm going to speak on the other side of the match. The Private Party they were spot monkeys for this. They just did all the high spots, which is just taking all the big bumps and going off the stage. At the very beginning of the match, you've got Santana and Ortiz and the Lucha Brothers all doing flips and dives to the outside of the ring Private Party.
At the same time.
Yes, at the same time.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome. Even though I was scared for all 4 of them.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I think Isaiah Cassidy did get hurt in the match.
Towards the end.
No. I'm saying I think he got hurt in the match. Maybe pulled something in his leg or something. The match was good. Orange Cassidy came out in the middle of the match as Matt Hardy was going to cut Ortiz's hair because Matt Hardy has become...
obsessed.
Yeah, he's the new Brutus the Barber Beefcake at this point. And
apparently he's cut the fat out of his life, so he wants to cut the hair out of other people's lives. I don't get it.
You know what? Nobody has any idea what's going on with Matt Hardy.
He is looking much better, though.
Oh, yeah. Big Money Matt is looking svelte. It's a good gimmick. However, he then... actually, I'm going to skip to the end of the match and do the promo that happened at the end of the match before we discuss it. Matt Hardy got upset with Orange Cassidy coming out, interrupting him. So after the match, he cut a promo where he challenged Orange Cassidy to a hair versus hair match.
But not for him.
No.
No, Big Money Matt apparently does not want his hair cut.
No, he delegates because he's a boss.
Right.
Like a boss, he delegates. And so he challenged Orange Cassidy to a hair versus hair match versus Jack Evans.
Which surprised Jack Evans.
He was very surprised. He even said, hell no. He said, hell no, I'm not doing that. Okay, back to the match. So the match has all of the real good classic spots. It ends, excuse me, mosquito. It ends with the Lucha Brothers assisted spike pile driver, package pile driver. And into setting up Ortiz and Santana to do the street sweeper on Mark Quinn, and you know, so the Matt Hardy family office loses. It was, honestly, it was just very intense and very fast, and there were some really good spots. Oh, example. Private Party did an assisted DDT spot that was an interesting DDT spot.
On the outside?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You remember how that was set up?
Absolutely not.
Come on.
I honestly don't.
All right. So you've got Mark Quinn with Ortiz set up in a neckbreaker spot, to which Isaiah Cassidy runs around and grabs Ortiz's leg and flips him over Mark Quinn to land in a DDT, which is a fan... I'm saying that backwards. It was Mark Quinn that was flipped. Doesn't matter. It was really, really, really creative spot. These guys do some really fun things. I'm glad they've sort of gotten a rhythm in the matches, and they're looking amazing. They
agreed.
Really are.
Agreed.
Blade looked good. Blade was doing anti-airs.
Butcher looked good.
Well, yeah, but I absolutely love a big man that does a crossbody. Like, you'll sell me halfway through a match with a crossbody from a big man. Guy 6'3", does a crossbody at 250. Yeah, I'm winning. I'm happy. You know, Powerhouse Hobbs did one earlier in the night. I'm happy with Butcher doing it. I just like it.
I loved it. It was a great match.
It was a very good match.
Loved it.
So afterwards, there was another segment. Okay, so the match is over with them winning. There's another segment with Santana and Ortiz, which I keep wanting to call Proud and Powerful.
Yeah.
And the Lucha Brothers, they do win.
Yep.
With the aforementioned street sweeper on Mark Quinn.
Yep.
The part with Matt Hardy challenging Orange Cassidy happens after that, but that was right after, which is why I threw that in. And then you get
Sammy Guevara,
and I'm not a fan. I'm really not.
I think they got that from the last podcast.
Okay, so, but I like the card bit. I like the Love Actually card bit that he does whenever he does that. So he comes out and...
with Fuego del Sol.
Yes, with Fuego del Sol, which I actually do like, which is ironic. They come out, they do the card thing. Miro walks up behind them.
In the middle of the card thing, so they didn't finish the card thing.
No. And then Miro...
destroys them.
Yeah.
Did I say destroys them? Because I meant demolishes them.
Yes. Sammy gets beat up. Fuego del Sol gets beat up.
And thrown onto a table down below the ramp.
The stage. He got thrown off the stage. It was very intense. And then Sammy Guevara gets put in the...
something lock. No, the game over.
It is the game over.
Yes!
Bravo,
I'm
the game
so
over.
Excited.
That was a high five. It's great audio content. That. That was amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Can I do another mic drop?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mic drop.
There it is. All right. That was pretty much it for that. And then nobody came out. No one stopped him. Miro just whooped them and put Sammy in the game over and did a walk-off. That's it.
Pushed his head into the stage and then got up and left.
Yeah.
It was awesome because I love Miro.
Now, in WWE, you could pretty much say, actually, you know what?
No.
In WWE, you couldn't even predict who's going to win the next match because they could let Sammy lose like 12 times in a row and then say that, you know, he deserves another chance.
And then what came after that?
Was the Andrade video promo.
Oh, the Andrade.
Where he, I guess it's a heel way of apologizing for Chavo Guerrero getting in the way of the match because he said that Pac has the excuse that Chavo got interrupted his match and no one's allowed to interrupt Andrade's matches because Andrade is such a great wrestler. This is Andrade saying this. Then he said that he will beat Pac again, and next time, Pac won't get any excuses. So I'm thinking they're going to have they're definitely going to have another match, but I'd love to see a cage match between these two.
Oh, no, not me. I want Chavo to come out and do it again.
Oh.
I love Chavo.
Yes, you do.
I was happy he was on the show. Bring him back. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Okay.
For reasons I'm not going to go into right now.
Fair enough, but she has
a
baby.
It's a long story. I think the man is amazing as a person. And go Chavo.
Even if he's a heel, you're still going to root for
100%.
Him. 100%. Okay.
I love seeing him on television, and nobody ever can convince me otherwise. Ever.
All right. So, ooh, Chavo gets love from Adelaide Laurie. Now, we'll be back in the next segment. It was Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay. Anna Jay in her second comeback week on Rampage, which is good.
Nice.
Things I really liked about the match, they actually looked like they got good chemistry. They looked like they were having a good match. You've got Anna Jay just wrestling well, looking aggressive.
Yeah, very aggressive. Taking the bull by the horns, as you will.
The majority of the match, good call, yeah.
Penelope looked good. She's Penelope. Didn't have to do any of her flippy stuff.
Right.
None
of the cheerleader stuff. She was just, you know, just playing the heel, you know.
Yeah.
Hits, keeping it grounded.
They were going back and forth pretty good. And then Anna Jay had some queen's lock. Queen's hold.
Queen's slayer.
Queen's gambit.
You're doing it on purpose now.
Queen's slayer.
Yes. It's basically a rear naked choke. It starts from a standing position and she'll end it up, well, she'll be on her back, you know, with her legs wrapped around the other person, which then thus a legitimate rear naked. It's a good move.
Sure.
It's worked for her before. That's how she took out Brandy last year.
I wasn't faking it. Honestly, I just remember Queen. But she was in the middle of it, probably would have won. But the bunny came down the ramp, and the disservice that had, you know, all of us had to suffer through was not watching her do her little head tilt TM crazy bit.
Yeah, that is a good bit. Like when she does that, like the I'm coming down the ramp, the cameraman's got me in focus, and she does that tilt and maybe the huh, like the little chomp thing,
the
that
bite
she does,
of the air,
the air bite. Honestly, yeah, and she sells crazy really well.
Which her walking on the ramp made Anna Jay let go of the Queen Slayer.
Yes.
And then they went back and forth for a little bit again, and the bunny got up on the
apron
and started screaming randomly.
Yeah, very Daphne. Shout out to the late great Daphne.
Yes. And then also a shout out to Anna Jay, who is still wearing the armband that says rest in peace Brody Lee.
Yeah,
which I applaud and both echo that sentiment.
Yeah, you know, a good back and forth. You know, Penelope, like you said, didn't really have to do any of her cheerleading stuff. And I know
gymnastic
that's
stuff.
Okay, sure. Gymnastics.
Sure.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, please. Understand. I think that gymnastics and cheerleading are sports. You know, I like professional wrestling.
Sure.
But the match ends with Penelope Ford getting brass knuckles thrown to her.
From the bunny,
he was screaming.
After she screamed, and the ref was looking at the bunny, going, "Why the f are you screaming?"
Yeah, that's exactly what his face looked like. That was his exact face. It's like, "Why are you screaming?"
So then she throws the brass knuckles, and Penelope Ford picks them up, puts them on, and hits Anna Jay, and Anna Jay's done. The match is over.
Yeah. After that, the Hardy family office come down to the ring, and
now Ty Conti comes down.
I apologize. Ty Conti comes to the ring first. She gets taken out
by the brass knuckles,
and by, you know, the bunny, you know, because it is still 2-on-1 since Anna Jay is pretty much knocked out. Then she gets brass knucked, and then the Hardy family office comes and, you know, blocks the ramp. And at that point,
you hear one of the best songs in professional wrestling start to play, The Pixies.
Where Is My Mind?
Yes, thank you.
It is a fantastic song, that's true. It's one of those songs that will get you going. You immediately know what's going to happen next, and you love it. So Orange Cassidy came out with
Chris Statlander.
Yes.
My girl.
She's amazing.
My alien, I mean.
You know what? I mean, this new aggressive streak that's been happening with some of these sort of softer touch wrestlers, like, you know, Anna Jay was always this very, she wrestled, but she was
the meek little girl.
Exactly. Tall as she is, though, but she was always playing it little soft.
Well, meek.
That little extra aggressiveness that's happened with her and Statlander since they've come back from their injuries. Amazing.
Totally just approve.
Really, really. Yeah, we'll approve. We'll recommend.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So then Private Party and all the rest of them standing as a wall in front of the ring was like, what? It's just the two of you. And then music plays once again.
Fairly good hard rock music plays and the Dark Order comes
Not
out.
Not all of them, though.
No, it was.
Everyone but.
Stu Grayson. It was John Silver. It was Alex Reynolds. It was
10-5.
And that's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, uh-oh, where's Stu and where's Evil Uno? And then all of a sudden, Stu comes down and doesn't stop on the stage, just keeps going. And then it's Evil Uno comes out, and then Colt Cabana comes out.
Yeah, so we're really happy about that.
So they're all in the ring together.
They chase off the heels.
Right.
They're all in the ring together. And Alex Reynolds, of all people, extends his hand to Evil Uno. Evil Uno turns away and steps out of the ring and doesn't shake hands. Stu Grayson follows him. And, you know, they've been tag team partners forever. And so Stu Grayson follows Evil Uno and, you know.
Colt Cabana looks confused, but then eventually follows
Stu and Evil Uno. And that's.
And my heart sinks and it's like somebody kicked my puppy. I do not like. However. Fingers are crossed.
Next week is...
Hope is alive.
Next Wednesday will be in Rochester, New York, the hometown
there
of Bernie
Lee. There are rumors.
Yes, there are.
I am on the side of one, used to be Bray Wyatt.
Wyndham Rotunda.
Correct what he said. coming forth, and I really want him to take over the Dark Order. I'm just putting it out into existence right now.
For the people who are going to listen to this, maybe on a road trip coming up anytime soon, and don't understand all of the layers of storyline that are happening here, just trust me. Any of the things that I've said, look them up. They're worth the listen. And Wyndham Rotunda / Bray Wyatt is always a good listen. It's a good listen.
Awesome.
Any one of his promos from WWE were worth it. They were just absolutely worth it.
For sure.
All right, so coming up on the main event, which technically the Anna Jay match would be the main event since this is a lights out match coming up.
Nah.
Okay, see you in the next segment. Wow, okay. Suzuki-gun. Main event, lights out match. Eddie Kingston, John Moxley versus Lance Archer and Murder Grandpa, Minoru Suzuki.
Still the weirdest name ever.
It's okay, look, he is the king of pro wrestling. That's what everybody knows him as. But when you think about the fact that the man is, well, a grandpa and, you know, probably will murder you. You know, murder grandpa. It all just makes sense.
Sure.
It was a classic, actually, it was very much a New Japan hardcore match. It was very intense. It was, Kingston got taken out early by going through a table. Minoru Suzuki put him through the table. They didn't even let Kingston, well, let's just start at the beginning. I'm sorry about that. It's organic. I apologize. But Kazen Inare played. And if you're a fan of New Japan, it's a big deal that in New York City, in front of 20,000 plus fans, Kazen Inare plays. And the fans chanted when it needed to happen. Not all of them, don't get me wrong, only the hardcore fans, but it's a few thousand people screaming Kazen Inare. It was amazing. It was just amazing. I'm sorry. As a fan, I'm super happy. Okay, the match was good. It was a classic hardcore match. There's not a lot of elements of, you know, real technical wrestling. The storytelling is very much who's hurt and who's coming back. And that kind of hardcore is how it really plays. I know it's not your thing, Adelaide. I apologize. It's not really, hardcore matches like that aren't really your thing.
It's so hard to say that because, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's New Japan, it was such a great match or whatever. And then that makes me sound like I don't like New Japan. I know nothing about New Japan wrestling. Absolutely nothing.
That's fine. I am
a John Moxley fan. I am an Eddie Kingston fan, probably slightly more than John Moxley, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I liked his, I'm not a big fan of the, what do they do in the beginning? Who's with them? Big Henry?
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry.
You're talking about the main event thing for Rampage. Where they do the shoot promo. Okay.
I'm not a big fan of that, but I loved Kingston's attitude. I loved everything about that.
He just makes you believe it.
He's like Miro. He like lives it. He drinks it. He eats it. That's his thing.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that about him. So as much as I'm not this style of wrestling fan, I do like the players. I even like Lance Archer. So.
No, you do. You're a Lance Archer fan, which is hard for me since I was at WCW when he first started.
Yeah.
And he was Lance Hoyt, and I have the hardest time getting past that in my head.
Yeah.
But he has great matches. The whole Everybody Dies gimmick is a pretty good gimmick. That is Lance Archer's gimmick, just so that you're aware.
So I do. I mean, it was a fine match, but it's not my cup of tea. So I'm gonna let you do your thing on this one.
Well, all right. I'm not going to drag you down into the weeds with me on this one. It's a very good match.
Too late.
There it is, folks. There it is. Just a little bit more. It's the kind of match that I can stay up late for. Like, I enjoy this kind of match. I can get into Minoru Suzuki wrestling a guy like John Moxley, who John can wrestle many different styles of matches. When he wrestled Cody, it didn't really work for me. But when he wrestled Kenny Omega, it absolutely worked for me. You've got a very athletic guy and another guy that's, you know, just sort of trying to ground that guy. But you can tell he's athletic when he does it. So in this match, you're talking about a guy in a limited move set in Minoru Suzuki who just hits hard, or at least you sell that he hits hard. And Lance Archer, a very athletic big man. That's what, 6'7", 6'8"? And just really athletic for a big man. And then John Moxley grounds them all and makes them all look very real in the match with him. Eddie Kingston's a wild man, and that's who he is. But that's not the part of the match that's really noteworthy. In my opinion, the most noteworthy thing is, you know, you're in New York, you're going to have some type of reveal. And you did. Homicide shows up and helps John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. John Moxley, who was duct taped behind his back, and Eddie Kingston.
His hands were duct taped behind his back.
That's correct. And Eddie Kingston, who had gone through a table and was very hurt on the outside of the ring and kept getting swiped by Lance Archer every chance he got. Homicide comes out and just. It is the most organic pop when people realize that it's Homicide. It's this classic New York wrestler, indie legend, impact legend that just, it brings a lot of really, really, that's the one thing I love about AEW when they do it, is that they bring in people and they give them a chance to really shine in front of big audiences and let them show, this is why we love them. This is what they do. And he didn't do a lot, but I think that going forward, we're probably going to see a little more Homicide, and I think that that's going to be fun.
Do you think? I thought it was a one-time thing.
I think that Excalibur was putting it over like it's going to be another run. Like he'll get another shot at some things. I think he should. I think Santana and Ortiz, Eddie Kingston and Homicide could have a fun little tag team match.
Well, everybody in the crowd knew who he was because they were all chanting, Homicide, Homicide.
Yeah, so.
And I was saying, who dat?
Yeah.
Who dat?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Sorry for the cough, folks. But yeah, that's definitely the, I'm fine with you saying who dat. All right, so in closing, I mean, that's pretty much it. The baby faces stood tall. Eddie Kingston, John Moxley ended up winning the match. Where?
Because Eddie Kingston went crazy.
I was going to say that. Eddie Kingston did, he put a trash can on Lance Archer's head and then proceeded to beat the trash can flat on his head with a kendo stick. Yeah. It was pretty intense.
So when he pulled the trash can off, turned him over, and laid on top of him, surprise, surprise, Lance Archer didn't move.
No, he did not.
Adoy.
Yeah, did not move. Did not move. But yeah, that was a good match. It ended well. It gave me a lot of things. I mean, Minoru Suzuki and John Moxley didn't know the bell had rung. They didn't know that
they were fighting on that outside.
John Moxley did not know that Eddie Kingston had won the match for them. He was still fighting.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man. That's the kind of stuff that I like from that type of match. I don't know why it was unsanctioned. I mean, it could have just been a hardcore match. It would have been fine.
But it's fine.
Whatever.
I don't care.
It's AEW's thing. Yeah.
Well, what did you think of the show?
I thought it was a great show.
I really did too. Rampage tends to be the, you know, bang, bang, bang show every week. This one had a lot of segments, a lot of really good. I know it was 2 hours.
I was going to say, it was 2 hours?
Yes, they had to fill 2 hours, but I liked it. I liked very much what they did. I even like how they interspersed the very Rampage-ness, I guess that's correct, of it in the show. And yes, it was the Grand Slam show. Yes, this is pre-taped stuff. It was great.
I thought it was good. It was very entertaining. Was it the caliber of Dynamite? I'd say no.
No, I wouldn't even try to compare the two. I think the crowd was the same.
I don't, but if you're going to give me a 2-hour Rampage, I can't help but compare it to the Dynamite you just put out. All in all, both shows, Dynamite and Rampage, were amazing.
The fans got what they wanted.
Spectacularly
there.
Done. They should be very, very proud of themselves at AEW for putting all of this together. I mean, it's good.
I'm going to say that I appreciated this week of wrestling with them. Rampage is a good little capper for this week of AEW wrestling. I am looking forward to the Rochester show next week. I absolutely am. I know I shouldn't be building myself up like this, but I am. I'm a mark. I'm a fan. So this is how this works.
There's not much else. We've talked about every segment and we talked openly about everything that we liked and didn't like.
Yeah.
The only thing I guess we've discovered this week is that I'm not the biggest Sammy Guevara fan.
Did we discover that? Oh yeah, I guess we did.
I've been pretty vocal about it. I think it'll be better if he just was just a heel. I would like him a lot better if he was a heel.
I just don't understand how he's like the man that everyone's afraid of when he's like, oh, there's Sammy Guevara coming in to save somebody. Why?
Yeah.
Why are you running?
Yeah.
You're bigger than... I mean, no offense to Sammy Guevara. None whatsoever.
No.
I mean,
he's almost 6 foot tall. He's pretty... He's a good-looking kid, you know.
It's just a question that pops into my head.
Right.
Why are you leaving the ring? It's just Sammy Guevara.
If he was a heel, that's all I'm saying. It would totally work for me if he was a heel. All right, moving on. Don't want to bog this down. We don't want to digress into me going mine. I like, I don't like.
Good show.
Yeah.
I hope you watch it. If not, if you listen to this, go back and watch it. Absolutely worth it.
It is worth it. We'll recommend. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
And this is We Like What We Like. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate your support. Follow us. And we have an email as well. WLWWLpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us any questions or comments or recommendations, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good night.